Well, turning your Bibles, if you want to Leviticus chapter 25. Leviticus 25, we've been going, of course, through the study of what we call the Feast of Israel. And as you remember, there's all different kind of aspects about it. We're looking at the holy days. Sometimes we call them holidays, but the holy days that God gave to his people. Why would he do that? Three things. He did that to set them apart. And of course, if you have your handout and you just want to follow through with this, you can do that. But we see three things on why God gave these special days. To set the nation of Israel apart. It does make them different and unique people. Second, to remind them of God's power, provisions, and protection. Because when you see the things, especially in the different feasts, especially in Leviticus 23, you see what God has done. And then the last thing was that it was a foreshadow of God's future plans. There's so many things in there that talk about what God is going to do. Now this morning, two different things. We'll probably just get to one just because of time, but we'll probably just get to the first one, and then we're going to look at the sabbatical year and the year of Jubilee. Now, it's a pretty amazing thing. We already know that the Sabbath principle is you work 6 days and what? Rest on the seventh. Did you know the Jewish people were to basically labor and work and crops and everything for 6 years and then rest on the seventh year? Can you take a whole year off? How many would like a whole year off? Anybody want a whole year off? Yeah. They go, I'll take a whole year off. I mean, you know. And then we're going to see what the year of Jubilee was, because as every 50 years, there was something else as well. So the sabbatical year and the year of Jubilee, we're going to see how those tie together. Well, let's start with this. You know, land is valuable. There's no doubt about that. There's a saying that says God's not making any more land. So whatever you got, there it is. Land is so valuable. And let's think about the nation of Israel and land, because we've been seeing on Sunday nights the book of Genesis, and we're going to start tonight with the book of Exodus, and so it's going to be a lot of fun. But you think about the nation of Israel and the land. God made a covenant with Abraham. Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. And the covenant was this: I'm going to give you a land. I'm going to give you a seed. I'm going to give you a blessing. The seed, of course, is the people group and the Messiah. The blessing is salvation through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But the land was a particular area. Now, when we talk about it today, we just think about the nation of Israel, and we think about the little area that they have, and then there's all kind of disputes about the West Bank and about the Gaza Strip and all of that. But if you go over to the Bible, to Genesis 13, Genesis 15, Genesis 17 and 18, you find out that the dimensions of the land that God promised his people start all the way with the Nile River in Egypt and go all the way to the Tigris-Euphrates River, which is Iran, Iraq today. That's their land. Now, when they went into the promised land, if you remember, that they divided the land up. So there are two things I want you to think about the land. Was this. Number one, it goes back to bondage in Egypt, that God's going to bring them out to take them back to the land that God had promised them. But there was a second thing, is under Joshua, they actually took the land. And you remember this, that they went into the land and they divided the land among the tribes. So every tribe got certain land. Now here's what's amazing that you may not have thought about, because we always say, okay, every tribe got land. So this is where the people from the tribe of Judah were going to be, and this is where the people from the tribe of Benjamin were going to be, and this is the tribe Manasseh and Ephraim and and Dan and Naphtali and Asher and Gad, and you start doing all that, Reuben and Simeon. But not only did every tribe have land, every family got their land. And so if you were from the tribe, let's say the tribe of Judah, and Judah had this land, then you had a certain portion of land in that tribe that was your land for your family and your offspring. And then there was others, and they had their land. You might say, well, what happens? How long do we get that land? How long do they get that land? Forever. That land is theirs forever. And so one of the great truths, go ahead and go to the next slide. One of the great truths is Leviticus 25, verse 23. If you note it, it says, listen to this. The land, moreover, shall not be sold permanently, for the land is mine. Who is speaking there? Who does the land of Israel belong to? It belongs to God. God says, this is my land. I will allow you to live here. I'm going to divide it up among all the tribes and then among all the families. And so that land is your land, because it's actually my land. Now, there was something that you may not realize. In the Abrahamic covenant, the promise, the land, is unconditional. It'll always be their land. He made the same promise to Isaac and the same promise to Jacob. When they came out of Egypt and they went and got what we call the Mosaic Law, there was a conditional thing. a conditional thing was this: if you obey me, I let you live in the land. If you disobey me, I will remove you from the land. Now, it's still your land. It's still God's land. It's still Israel's land. And what happened? The nation of Israel did not obey him. And you remember in 722 B.C., he allowed the Assyrians to take them out of the northern empire. 605 B.C., he allowed the Babylonians to take them out of the southern empire. And if you'll also remember, in A.D. 70, because of their rebellion, putting the Messiah to death, their rebellion, all of these things, God allowed the Romans to come in and destroy Jerusalem, tear down the temple, and they were scattered from that land all the way till 1948, A.D. 70 to 1948. God says, if you obey me, I let you live in the land. If you disobey me, I will take you out of the land. It's still my land, and it's still your land. And so the question is, each tribe and each family own land. How long did each family have the land? It is forever. It'll always be their land. Now, what if they sold it? What if you decided that you would sell your land? Because people did that all the time. We're going to talk about it. You realize that if Bonita said, I want to buy your land, then I said, well, okay, and there's going to be a way we figured out how much the land is worth. And if I sold it to her on the year of Jubilee, we just talked about the sabbatical year and the year of Jubilee. In the year of Jubilee, all land goes back to the original owners. So you will, even if you sell your land, sometime within a 50-year time period, that land is coming back to you. That gives you security. You'll always have that land. Now, there's a little exception. I'll tell you what it is as we get into it. But there's just some things. God always provides and protects. Now, we've been thinking, and let me just look through this. We've been looking at the different feasts, and I just want to let me just kind of give you a little quiz since we don't have a lot of time today. Let's throw the quiz out. Anybody remember what is the weekly holiday or the weekly holy day? What's it called? Sabbath. What's the monthly one called? How come we always miss this one? What is it called? What? New moon, right? New moon. Remember the monthly one? It's one or two days at the start of every month. Okay, then there were seven feasts that were found in Leviticus. What's the first one? 14th day of the first month is Passover. What's the second one called? Feast of Unleavened Bread. I'm not doing very good at all in this class, I don't think. Too much detail? So knowing the feast is too hard? It's too hard, right? Yeah, too much detail. You can't remember. Okay. Test anxiety. That's what it is. Okay. All right. No more tests. Except this. What feast, what book ties around the feast on the casting of lots? That's called Purr, but what book? Esther. Okay. And what was the feast called where they took back the temple after it being overrun by Antiochus Epiphanes IV. That's the Feast of Lights, Dedication of the Lights, or as we know it as Hanukkah. Okay, y'all are okay. It's just, you know, the old ones. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes your minds go, or test anxiety. That's what it is. Okay. Go to the next slide there. Yeah, I had that up there for you to give you the answers in case you didn't get them. Okay. All right, now let's think about this morning. We're going back to Leviticus 25, and we're going to look at two things. If you go to the next slide, one is Leviticus 25 verses 1 through 7, which is the sabbatical year, and then 25 8 through 12, which is the year of Jubilee. And just because of time this morning, we probably won't get to the year of Jubilee. I've got another whole section on that anyway. But let's think about, I've got at the bottom of the page two special holy days, and I don't know if you can. Think about those holy days, but I just wanted you to think that one is sabbatical. You work for 6 days and rest on the seventh. You serve and work for 6 years and rest on the seventh. So the sabbatical year, and the thing I just want you to think about, is a yearly deal. In fact, that's the sabbatical principle. The sabbatical principle is that you work and rest. And have you found the sabbatical principle on your handout yet? That's where we are. Okay, there we go. Okay, Leviticus 25, 1 through 7, Leviticus 25, 8 through 12, the sabbatical year. The sabbatical principle is you work 6 days, rest on the seventh. The sabbatical year is you work 6 years and rest on the seventh. Now, to me, it always amazed me that you're going to work for 6 years and you're going to take what? An entire year off. Now, what did they do as a whole? What did they do? They what? They farmed. Yeah, how are you going to take a whole year off? And if you take a whole year off, how are you going to eat? Right? In fact, if you, you're going to have to store it up, right? What if there's not enough to store up? What if at the end of the sixth year and you're fixing to take off the next year, you don't have that much? So how are you going to eat the next year? And then, by the way, what about the year after that? Because it's going to take you another year to have planted crops after that and for those crops to come along, right? So let's look at this. Look at Leviticus 25. Look at verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses at Mount Sinai, saying, speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I will give you, then the land shall have a Sabbath to the Lord. Now, we already know that man was supposed to have a Sabbath, right? That was a Sabbath day. Work 6 days, rest on the seventh. But look at this one. He says, but 6 years you shall sow your fields, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyards and gather its crops. So what you find out is you work for how long? 6 years. Then notice, but during the seventh year, the land shall have a Sabbath rest, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall not sow your field nor prune your vineyard. So Leviticus 25 verses 4 and 5, seventh year, the land shall have a what? A Sabbath, a rest. And the question that often comes up is this. Go to the next slide. What do we eat? How do we eat? What happens? Well, I want you to listen to this. I'm gonna read this to you. This is from Exodus. They're in Leviticus. I just want to read to you from Exodus. Exodus 23:10 says, you shall sow your land for 6 years and gather its yield, but on the seventh year you shall let it rest. You shall let it rest and lie fallow, so that the need. Now listen to this. So that the needy of your people may eat, and whatever they leave, the beast of the field may eat. You'll do the same with your vineyards and your olive groves. Now, this is something that we haven't talked about very much, but you saw it in the book of Ruth. If I had a field, and I have the field and it's time to harvest, the law said you never harvest the corners of your field. Why? So the poor people got the corners. You left it. And as you harvest, if you dropped anything, technically, if you were harvesting grapes or you were harvesting grain and it fell, you were not to ever pick it up. Why? Because the poor people would follow you. And if you dropped something, they would go get it. That's a welfare system. That's a system so that people who didn't have it could get it. Now, if you notice that what I just read in Exodus, that part of the purpose of the sabbatical year was that so that other people could come into your field in that year and do what? Get what's there. Get what's growing on its own, because things grew on its own. So it was God's way of taking care of his people. And so what we find, listen to this again, you shall sow your land for 6 years and gather in the yield, but the seventh year shall be a rest, it shall lie fallow, so that the needy of your people may eat. Whatever they leave, the beast of the field may eat. You'll do the same with your vineyard and your olive trees. So what happens? There is rest for the land and the people. There is spontaneous growth. And there's one thing we haven't talked about yet, but tied to the release of debts. Now, if you sold yourself into slavery, or you had a major debt, at the end of 7 years, there's a release of the debts in the Jewish law. So if I sold myself into slavery because I got myself into trouble, and I was purchased by another Jewish person, at the end of 7 years, there's a release of debt. We're going to talk more about it, how it ties into the year of Jubilee as well. So what we see is God says it's rest for the land and the people. There is spontaneous growth on that land. Who is that for? For the needy. And then there is a release of debts. Now, you're in Leviticus. Look at verse 20. But if you say, now this is, well, let's say you do that. In fact, look at verse 18. It says it better. You shall thus observe my statutes and keep my judgments as to carry them out that you may live securely on the land. Then the land will yield its produce so that you can eat your fill and live securely on it. But if you say, what are we going to eat on the seventh year if we do not sow or gather in our crops? That's a legitimate question, isn't it? What are we going to eat? Watch what he says. Then I will so order my blessing for you in the sixth year that it will bring forth the crop for what? You're going to have enough in the sixth year that will be able to feed you for the seventh year, the eighth year, and on into the ninth year. He's going to give you that much food. Now that's if you obey him. Let me ask you something. Did the Jewish people keep the Sabbath day? Most of the time they did. Did the Jewish people keep the Sabbath year? No. Wonder what? That's one of the reasons they went. The best we can tell, it was probably that long. Yeah, we're going to get, that's on the handout. We'll get to it in just a second, but that's a great point. Did the Jewish people keep the sabbatical years like God asked them to do? The best we can tell is they did not. They may have done it for some of the times, but they did not because, and we'll get to it in just a minute. We'll get to it in a minute. That because of that, they went into captivity because they didn't let the land rest. And God said, I'll take you out of the land and I'll let it rest because you're not letting it rest. Why do you think, let me ask you something, why do you think they would keep the Sabbath day but not the Sabbath year? What do you think? Do you think it's easier to maybe trust him for one day than it is to trust him for a whole year? I think so. If you trust him in a sabbatical year, it's more than a year, isn't it? Because you go for a whole year and then you plant and you don't immediately have food as soon as you plant, right? You got to wait till all that comes up. So it's at least a year and a half, almost 2 years without growing anything, basically. It may have been some greed because, especially if you had a good 6 year, right? What was the purpose of a great 6 year? To get you through the next 3 years, basically to take care of you at the sabbatical year. Now, the year of Jubilee was the 49th and 50th year, and the 49th year was a 7 year, so it was automatically a Sabbath year, and the 50th year was the Jubilee, and it was a Sabbath year. Guess what? You had 2 years. Every 50 years, you had 2 years in a row you didn't do anything.
What did they do during that time?
I guess they just hung around and played games. I think they did watch videos and stuff like that and played on their computers. And yeah, they caught all the stuff they'd taped on their DVRs and caught up for that year. It snacked on the food. You know, they could do anything. Yeah. We look at it, it's so different than we think. When a man got married, technically he could not go to war for at least a whole year after he got married because he had to have time with his wife and his brand new family and everything because they didn't want him going to war and getting killed right after he got married. So they had all kind of little deals. Now, let me show you something. Let's think about this. Again, verse 20 says, What are we going to eat on the seventh year if we do not sow or gather our crops? Hey, I'll order my blessings for you in the sixth year that it will bring forth the crop for 3 years. When you are sowing the eighth year, you can still eat old things from the crop, eating the old until the ninth year when its crops come in. Isn't that amazing? It's just over and over. I'll order my blessings, sixth year crops enough for 3 years. It's always the same thing. God does that. I think, is there another slide? I don't know if there, yeah. God will supply. Here's the thing. God's going to supply what? Everything. Let me ask you this. If he would take care of the nation of Israel in basically about a 3 year time period, because you have a year that you don't do anything and the year that's coming in and the next year, what would he do for us? My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. We worry about everything, do we not? has he said that I will take care of you, I will never leave you or forsake you, what should you fear? Now, he didn't tell us not to work. He didn't tell us that. In fact, in Thessalonians, he said, if you don't work, you don't what? You don't eat. He says, you should take the gifts, talents, and abilities that you have, and you should use those, and you should work. And in fact, one of the reasons that he says work and gain is so that you will have to give. We don't think about it that way. A lot of times we people in America say, we work so we can have more and more. He said, you work so you'll be able to give more and more. I mean, that's something we don't always think about. Now, this was all tied to the release of debts. Deuteronomy 31:10 talked about the release of debts. Now, let me show you this. There's rest for the people, rest for the land, and release of debts. Now, did the Jews do this? We said a while ago they did not. I want you to go ahead and turn to 2 Chronicles. I know we're just about out of time, but turn to 2 Chronicles. Okay, you got 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 36. Okay? 2 Chronicles chapter 36. I just want you to see this. That's what Gary was talking about a while ago. 2 Chronicles 36. Verse 17. This is God doing this. Therefore we brought up against them the king of the Chaldeans, who slew their young men with the swords in the house of the sanctuary, and had no compassion on a young man or virgin, old man or infirm. He gave them all into his hand, all the articles of the house of God, great and small, the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and the officers. He brought them to Babylon. Then they burned the house of God and broke down the walls of Jerusalem and burned all the fortified buildings with fire and destroyed all his valuable articles. Those who had escaped from the sword, he carried away to Babylon and carried him, and they were servants to him and his sons until the rule of the king of Persia. Why? Why did this happen? To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed its Sabbaths. All the days of desolation, it kept Sabbaths until 70 years were complete. Some people estimate that they said if that was 70 Sabbaths, then that was 490 years that they failed to do what God told them to do. And that's why he said, okay, you won't take the Sabbaths, I'll just let you take them all at one time. And he took them off for 70 years. Is it easy to trust God in these areas? It didn't. Can you imagine that in your life, that every seventh year, you didn't go out and plant your crops? I mean, I grew up in Mississippi, and I grew up in a town, so I'm not a farmer or any of that, but I have a lot of relatives that grew up in the country. My mother and daddy both grew up in the country. Jean's folks were out in the country. She grew up on a farm. What if on the seventh year, suddenly her daddy didn't plant anything at all? And just said, we're just gonna eat what we had for last year, and it'll last us not only last year, but the next year and the next year, and then after that we'll plant. Most people say, you can't do that. But God told the nation of Israel that just like you work 6 days and rest on the seventh, you'll work 6 years and rest on the seventh. It's rest for the land, rest for the people, and all of those things. They had to trust God. Let me show you one thing. It's the very end of this is, let me just put that up. The three keys, I think I've got that. Go ahead and put the next slide up. No, that's... Oh, yeah, this is for the year of Jubilee. This is for next time. I just want you to see the year of Jubilee is very similar because it'll be rest for the soil on the 49th and 50th year. But this is where the reverse of the land goes back to the owners and a complete freedom for all slaves. And we'll see that next time. Now, we're also going to see next time if you wanted to sell your land. Now, you could sell your land, but guess what? Is it eventually going to come back to you? Okay, how do you know how much to sell it for? I mean, because this person's not buying this land to keep forever. They only have it for a certain period of time. We'll talk next week. How did they know how much to sell the land for? It's based off the years of the Jubilee, and we'll see it next time. Was that the second bell already? Okay. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thanks. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to look at the idea that we trust you and that you supply all our needs. Just like that we rest, just like the nation of Israel worked 6 days and rested on the seventh, the nation of Israel worked 6 years and rested on the seventh. Lord, there is a principle that we're to take time off, that we're to rest, that we're to work and then rest. Thank you, Lord, that there is a time of recreation and recreation. And Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we also realize that when we rest, that you are going to take care of us, just as you took care of the nation of Israel, not only weekly, but yearly, and even over 50 years. Lord, we thank you that you take care of us, that you supply every need that we have. Lord, help us as we continue this study. Help us be able to put it together, especially when we think about the year of Jubilee and how all that fits together as well. Thank you for our class, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay.